Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You're gonna wear white pants again?
Sure, I don't even know that yet.
How'd that come about?
I don't know. I showed up at the stadium and there's blue pants, so.
Was it your call?
No. Never been the head coach's call here.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Producer Adam Studzinski has informed me it will indeed be blue pants again for the Bears this evening as they take on the Rams in this divisional round matchup of the NFL playoffs. Rami Makhlouf with you live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers for another half hour or so, and then it'll be Olin and Manley and Mully getting you ready for this one from Soldier Field tonight, kickoff at 5:30. And joining me now from Soldier Field to get us ready for this one, you can catch her on Fox Chicago, sports anchor and Bears reporter over there, and on Twitter at Cassie Carlson TV. Pleasure to welcome in Cassie Carlson. Cassie, how are you this morning? Well, afternoon, I guess.
I know there's no sense of what time it is right now when it's a game day and it's a later kickoff. I'm doing great. What's happening at Soldier Field right now? I just saw tight ends coach Jim Dre walk in along with offensive coordinator Declan Doyle. I'd assume some of the players start arriving here shortly now that we're 3.5 hours till kickoff, and you can feel the buzz that's inside the stadium and in the city as they're getting ready to host the divisional.
Cassie, you may be wondering why I reported on the color of the Bears' pants when I opened this segment, and it's because I've been saying all show I can be a little superstitious. I'm going to wear the same thing. I'm going to eat the same thing. I'm going to watch the game from the same place and from the same seat as I did last week. Do you have any of that in you, Cassie? I know you're a pro and you're out there to cover the game, but you got any superstitions when you're watching the game?
I wish I could tell you I do. I would tell you my mom texted me last week saying, make sure you wear your lucky clothes. And so I guess it worked, but I didn't wear anything the same that I wore last week. So I'm more worried about just being bundled up because it's going to be a cold one on the lakefront. I know some players are superstitious, others aren't. And I know the fans were so concerned about the blue pants last week, but I feel like everything in the Ben Johnson era has kind of been debunked. All the former curses have gone away since he was hired. So I think George McCaffrey, who I have heard is in charge of selecting uniforms, if that is true, you must believe that they're lucky now.
Now, just in case your mom is listening, how bundled up are you for this game tonight, and how much do you think the weather will play a factor in this football game tonight?
She would be disappointed by looking at me, probably saying my coat is not warm enough, but I chose to go with a cute coat over the warm puffer coat. However, I am wearing like 4 layers underneath, and so I was fairly warm. The sun is shining, so that definitely helps. It is actually not too windy. We'll see if that changes when kickoff comes, because I know it's going to feel like 0 degrees. The winds are supposed to be 12 to 15 miles an hour, and Emily Walls sent us an email saying she thinks Mother Nature is hoping for a Bears win, because now there's a more of a chance that we're going to see some snow once kickoff comes after 5 o'clock. And so I think it's going to be cold. I think it's, you know, I can see it both ways of weather being a factor, weather not being a factor. You talk to someone like Grady Jarrett this week who said, you know, he played 10 seasons in Atlanta, it's where he grew up. And anytime you're a dome team, you're trying to mimic these cold conditions, and it's just nearly impossible to do it. And once you live in the climate, you become more accustomed to it. And then Roma Dunze, who grew up in Las Vegas, he's like, to go from 102 to this, yeah, that's definitely going to be an adjustment. And so, well, we know the Rams are going to embrace whatever temperatures they walk into. I do think there's a good chance it does play a factor, and I think snow would definitely help that too. And I just love what we learned about the team this week, because Ben Johnson, obviously a very detail-oriented guy, he said when he was hired they wanted to host home playoff games. And so for him to have the wherewithal to know early on in the season they were going to practice outside all season long and never have heaters at practice – to prepare this team, Kevin Byard said that it garnered some complaints throughout the season, but he feels like it's a good thing now. And so this isn't going to be the coldest game the Bears have played in all season. They're used to these temperatures. It will be the coldest game the Rams have played in all season. And it was 80 degrees in LA all week. So you can't tell me that it won't be an adjustment for them.
Talking with Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 here on The Score afternoons, on a Sunday afternoon, that is, getting you ready for Bears and Rams from Soldier Field. When you look at this Rams team, What's the biggest concern or the matchup that you think that they could most exploit in this football game that could be the difference?
Well, I think the biggest concern is that they have an MVP caliber quarterback in Matthew Stafford, and the experience that he has in the postseason along with a lot of the players around him definitely is one of the things you look at. Just statistically speaking, they have the number one scoring offense, they have the number one passing offense, and he has two weapons in Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, especially Davante Adams. He's had a ton of success against the Bears. He's 14-3 against the Bears, and we know this Bears secondary, while they have Kyler Gordon and C.J. Gardner-Johnson both going to be healthy today, just the way it's gone the last handful of weeks with Jalen Johnson not 100% and Sean Wright getting beaten several times, I think there's concern in the Bears secondary if they can keep up with those two wide receivers, although I do think they match up a little bit better just as more physical receivers rather than speed receivers. I think where the Bears can exploit the Rams is their secondary as well. Since week 13, the Rams defense has been giving up explosive plays at a 41% rate, and that's one of the worst in the league. So we know the Bears lead the league in explosive plays. And just the way Caleb Williams is seemingly having all this chemistry with young players like Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Roma Dunze, who's going to be back for his second game now in the playoffs, I think that's an opportunity for the Bears to really exploit the Rams secondary. We know their defensive front, it can be daunting. And the question at left tackle, if it's going to be Theo Benedict or now reports that it could be Joe Tooney, will be something and probably the main storyline we watch heading into this game. I think there's an opportunity there for this Bears passing game to really exploit their secondary.
Yeah, what did you think? And Brad Biggs seems pretty confident that it will be Joe Tooney at left tackle. What did you think of even the possibility of that, or that the Bears were kicking that around this week? I thought it was a bit odd that in the divisional round, you're going to go with basically a setup that we haven't seen from the Bears yet this entire season.
Yeah, surprised too, because we were at Hallis Hall on Thursday. That was the day that we had open locker room, and we were talking to Theo Benedict, just assuming, I guess, that he would be the one that they would place at left tackle because he started there seven times already this season. You think back to training camp, and he was the one who, you know, worked himself into the rotation at left tackle, and he was their starter for a handful of weeks. And so I was surprised to hear that report in particular because of the move to have Jordan McFadden then play left guard. And we know Ben Johnson, he said it last week, they were going to go all out in their game against the Packers. It's going to be the same scenario this week, and I think he's taken a book out of Andy Reid, seeing that they did that midseason last year. Joe Tooney played left tackle throughout the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, and they feel like maybe he's the best option to block someone like Jared Verse, who has 7.5 sacks, and that defensive front is something that Ben Johnson pointed out this week as one of the main things that they are concerned about when looking at this Rams team. 47 sacks on the season, that's top 10. And, you know, you want to have Caleb Williams at his best and protect him in the pocket, move the pocket. And so maybe they feel like that is the best case scenario. I just think it's a little interesting that they are deciding to do it in a win or go home game. So I think Ben Johnson trusts his offensive line coach. I think he trusts Joe Tooney, who's one of the leaders on this team. He has the most experience out of anyone playing in these high state games. And they feel like they can move him around and that offensive line would be best suited doing that. But definitely it will be interesting to see how they line up in warm-ups in particular to see if we can get a feel if that's the plan they're going with.
Yeah, and Theo Benedict, who obviously started a handful of games at left tackle before Ozzie Trapillo took the position over, he's struggled in pass blocking, but been a very good run blocker for the Bears. Do you think this decision, if indeed they are going with Tooney at left tackle and then McFadden at left guard, do you think that's maybe an indication or a clue as to what sort of game plan Ben Johnson has in mind here, and that we're gonna see them throwing the ball around a little bit and not leaning on the run game as much?
I think they have to be able to do both, just because, you know, when you're a balanced offense, then that's when you're at your best. So, and I think just looking at what got the Bears to where they are was their run game and the offensive line play and everyone being on the same page in the run game, and talking to DeAndre Swift this week, Kyle Manungai this week, they're all well aware that the run game production has dipped over the last handful of weeks, and they all made it seem like they know exactly what they need to do to make sure that they are executing at their best to be able to make that more effective and leading into it a little bit more. And what DeAndre Swift said is that it's so hard, if you use the Packers as an example, to go up against a team for three times in a matter of 35 days. You are so familiar with each other that it's really hard to game plan and be successful in a lot of things like the run game. And so I think it's going to be a pretty balanced offense. And if it snows too, that could be an interesting wrinkle too, just to see if maybe the Bears lean on it a little bit more. The Rams run defense significantly better than their pass defense. But just knowing how this team has gotten to where they are today, I do think they are going to try to balance that out with Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift.
Talking with Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 here on The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Sunday afternoon, taking you right up to pregame with Mully and Olin and Manley right here on 670 The Score. And you brought up that Packers game last week a couple of times, Cassie, and what they did in the second half of that game defensively. How much of that do you think they can carry over and replicate in this game? Because they had a lot of success, especially in stopping that Packers run game last week. Or do you think that different opponent, we're going to see something completely different from Dennis Allen's defense?
Well, I think they have C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kyler Gordon back healthy, which allows them to deploy some different packages in the secondary, which could come into play definitely with Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua, two of the best receivers, and Puka Nacua in itself was nearly at 2,000 yards this season. And so I think that's one thing that comes to mind. Another thing that Tremaine Edmonds said is just a lot of what they were doing in the second half, yes, there was some scheme change, but a lot of it was just mentality and just playing more aggressive. And I think when the first thing that comes to mind when you're looking at who the opponent is they have a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who threw for 4,700 yards this season. Again, MVP level. He's 37 years old. He's seen it all. And what Ben Johnson said is he has the ability to manipulate a defense. And so when I asked Dennis Allen this week about what are the keys you tell your own players when you are going up against a quarterback like that, he said you have to get to your spots and you can't let him use his eyes to manipulate you. And Caleb Williams said Matthew Stafford has snake eyes. He'll use them to move defenders and then he'll beat you behind the defenders. And that's what happens when you have an experienced quarterback, especially one that's played in the playoffs before. And so I think this defense is going to have to find a way to get pressure on Stafford. We know he's dealing with a sprained index finger. They say it's not going to impact him. I don't know if cold would impact that either, but the biggest difference maker was that Montez Sweat and Austin Booker started getting more pressure on Jordan Love last week. And it just throws off the entire operation of the offense. And I think that's going to be another key against the Rams today. They can't let Stafford sit in the pocket and just deliver the ball to his weapons. It's going to be a long day at Soldier Field if they let him do that. And so whether it's pressure off the edge, pressure up the middle, that to me is going to be one of the main keys to slow down a Rams offense, because you know they're going to put up points. And so you have to either find a way to keep up or get stopped on defense.
Yeah, do you think this is a shootout at Soldier Field, given that Rams offense's propensity to put up points and the Bears offense has been putting up points at a high clip this year?
I'm sensing it could be a shootout. I talked to Roma Dunze this week one-on-one, and he said that they were gearing up for a similar mentality. They know the defense will go out there and do their job, but similar to the 49ers game where they were just going touchdown for touchdown, I get the sense that this team is preparing for that kind of mentality. And you know, the Rams defense over the last 3 weeks has been giving up 33 points per game. And so there is definitely an opportunity for the Bears to put up some big points. So I am sensing it's going to be a high scoring game despite the elements. And I think the Bears are prepared for that. It's Ben Johnson versus Sean McVay too, two of the most well-respected play callers at this point. And so I think that plays into it as well.
How big a role does special teams play this evening at Soldier Field, do you think, Cassie?
Huge. That was my bold prediction on Bears Game Day Live this morning. I think it is going to come down to a special teams play. I think it's going to be the deciding factor. The Rams have never under Sean McVay fired a coach midseason, and they did it this year firing their special teams coordinator. Three out of their five losses are because of special team miscues. They have a league-worst average of 16 yards per punt return, and they're playing at Soldier Field. They're a dome team coming to a very windy environment. We saw it affect the Packers last week. Missed field goals, missed special points. And I think that the Bears have the upper hand for that reason. And special teams has been playing great. Devin Duvernay, Jairo Santos. I just think Torrey Taylor, who didn't have to punt last week, is going to be prepared if he needs to do so. I think special teams is going to be the deciding factor.
Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and college hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
After this one.
Cassie Carlson of Fox 32, my guest for a few more minutes here, live from Soldier Field on 670 The Score. After last week's game, and man, Cassie, did I enjoy watching them beat the Packers and the way that they beat the Packers last week. That was such a weight lifted off my shoulders to get the upper hand in that rivalry for once. But a concern I had after that game was maybe they put a little too much emotionally into that football game, and could they dial up the same level of focus and emotion for this game this week? Is that something that the Bears coaching staff was aware of or worried about or felt like they had to protect against?
I think the only reason they're still talking about the game last week is because we keep asking about it. And I talked to Rome Dunze, and he was like, you know, moving on from an emotional game is different for each player. For him, he said, you know, he was out for 5 weeks. So he is so locked in and ready to go for what will now be what they hope to be the next 4 weeks. And I think having someone like Case Keenum in that locker room is so key in moments like this. Ben Johnson keeps crediting the veteran leadership for getting the locker room mindset in the right place. But Case Keenum actually lived this with the Minneapolis Miracle back in 2018, leading that comeback and then getting blown out just a week after that. And he took it upon himself to have a message in an offensive meeting about how you need to turn the page. And, you know, nothing that happened in the past matters anymore. They are welcoming in another opponent, and it's another win-or-go-home game. Those emotions, I think, play into it more than anything else, and even the weather, because C.J. Gardner-Johnson said this week, you know, Matt Stafford, he's played in cold weather games before. He did it last year in the divisional in Philly when it snowed. He's like, weather, whoopsie-doo, doesn't matter. It's the buildup and the emotion of knowing you are in a win-or-go-home game that makes or probably affects the team more. And so I think it's veteran leadership. It's people who have been in this position before. They're willing to share the message in the locker room to keep them focused. And I think that this team, to their credit, to the veterans' credit, to Ben Johnson's credit, to the players' credit, they have had a very 1-0 mindset throughout the entire season, and they really haven't been fazed by anything. I could go back to when they had the game in between the two Packers matchups against the Browns, and we were talking about, is this going to be a letdown game? And the way they came out against that team proved that they were so locked in just on the task at hand on Sunday so they could move on and then prepare for the next opponent. And I get the sense it's the same thing right now in the playoffs. And Case Keenum, his message, he lived it. I think they're listening to him. He is one of those players who's a veteran, but more so a coach, especially in the quarterback room. And he's making sure and taking it upon himself that he has the right message for these guys so they don't experience what he experienced a handful of years ago.
Cassie, last one for you. You got a prediction? Bears, Rams, divisional round, Soldier Field this evening?
Okay, I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. As I mentioned before, I think the deciding factor is special teams, and I am going to go Bears 33-30.
Love it. Love it. Cassie, appreciate the time again. Catch her on Fox 32 covering these Chicago Bears on Twitter at Cassie Carlson TV. And she sets the scene from Soldier Field for us. Cassie, really appreciate the time and the insight this afternoon.
Thanks, Robbie. Have a good one.
And she joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. I tend to agree with her that special teams could be the difference in this football game. And it's often the forgotten phase, and we don't really think about it or think about how much it can affect the outcome of a game. I think here in Chicago, I think we have a better understanding of how much special teams can affect a game and how it can really greatly improve your chances of winning a football game, simply because we watched Devin Hester for so long and how much of a difference special teams made for those Bears teams. And no, you don't have a Devin Hester on this football team. You have a Devin returning kicks and punts in Devin Duvernay, but you don't have a Devin Hester on this team. And so I don't think you'll have that type of impact. But if there's one phase where the Bears have a decided edge, I think it is in the special teams. As she said, Sean McVay has never fired an assistant coach mid-season, and they thought their special teams were so bad that they fired their special teams coach late in the season. It wasn't even mid-season. It was late in the season that they fired their special teams coach, and it hasn't gotten a whole lot better since. The Panthers were able to block a punt against them last week. I think you get something like that. To me, the key to this game is controlling the clock and stealing a possession or two. And the controlling the clock is twofold for me, because one, just the advantage that always comes with controlling the clock of keeping the opposing team's offense off the field and wearing down the opposing defense. But you add the added element of another sort of X factor or intangible that I think could go a long way in deciding this game. Keeping that defense on the field in the cold and punishing them in the cold and not giving them a chance to go to those sidelines and stand next to those heaters and get those big coats on, that to me could play a huge, huge role in this football game. So get a couple big special teams plays, whether it's some sort of blocked punt or blocked field goal or a long return from Duvernay that sets you up with good field position, along with maybe a turnover or two where, like I said, you steal a possession away from this Rams offense, and that could very well be the difference in this football game. You have two really probably the two best fourth quarter teams and probably best fourth quarter quarterbacks in the league going head-to-head this evening at Soldier Field. And so it might just come down to who has the ball last in this football game. I really do think it could come down to who has the ball last in this football game. And you improve your odds of being that team if you can steal a possession and make a few big special teams plays, even one or two big special teams plays. So I like the Bears' chances today. I like the Bears' chances. And as much as I like the Bears' chances because of anything that's going to happen off the field or on the field, I mean, a lot of superstitious people out there doing their part. I wanted to read this text before I wrap the show up because it is just outstanding. We've been talking about our superstitions and trying to recreate the way that we watched the game last week. This one from the 309. It's long, but it's good. It says, last week, due to the game being on Amazon Prime, only one TV is allowed per account per stream. My parents are watching the main broadcast, which left me with Next Gen Stats and the Spanish broadcast. We tried the Next Gen first, too difficult to watch. We then switched to the Spanish broadcast. It was difficult to follow, and at one point my 8-year-old asked, why aren't the referees speaking Spanish? At halftime, partially dejected, I muted the game and started listening to the Grateful Dead as Bob Weir had passed earlier in the day. Fast forward, the Bears complete the comeback. My 8-year-old and I are in our underwear as the neighbors come over to celebrate. Don't think I can recreate the same scenario as last week, but bear down. That is outstanding. Everything about that is outstanding. Yeah, that's going to be somewhat difficult to recreate, but do your best. I'm sure there is. You hit the SAP button on your remote, and I'm sure you could watch half the game in Spanish, and then turn. You can turn on some Grateful Dead, and this sounds weird to say, but what's to stop y'all from stripping down to your underwear again to just to bring the thing home? You know what I mean? Like, what I think you can recreate whoever that texter was. You didn't sign your name on it, but I think you can recreate that scenario all over again. I don't see why you can't. And then this one from the 574. Rami, so glad you're having the superstition show today. I thought I had everything covered to recreate last week until I remembered I was drinking my beer through a straw. Made out of red vine licorice. Running to the store now for more licorice. Bear down. That's Mike in South Bend. Outstanding. And I do have to mention, one texter said, I love the guy whose theme for the day is superstitious habits, calling out quote-unquote conspiracy theories. Fair. That is fair. I was not consistent on that front. My thanks to Paulie Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show. Also catch him Saturday mornings on the tailgate right here on The Score. And Cassie Carlson, who you just heard from Fox 32, setting the scene from Soldier Field for us. Also thanks to Adam Studzinski on the other side of the glass and for helping me put this whole thing together today. Stay locked in right here to The Score, because I've been your pregame show, your actual pregame show, coming up next with Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully, getting you set for the divisional round matchup with the Rams. And they're back after the game with instant reaction on the Timber Deck Decking and Railing postgame show. All of it right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm back tomorrow evening. Till then, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
The Bears.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and, I hope, entertaining insights on your money, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.